Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway, 1550 North High Street. Further details are online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics.
Yeah.
And speaking of classics, Al Pacino is a classic, right? Gone horribly awry. What's happening?
Well, you can't say that. Recently,
I can say
he
it.
Did Phil Spector, and I hear it was great.
On HBO.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the guy makes one, does turns in one good performance after 20 years of hamming it up, and suddenly...
But you know...
You're easy.
No,
I love Pacino.
But if you think about... I was thinking today about Daniel Day-Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
We speak with such reverence of Daniel Day-Lewis, but no way does he have the range of Al Pacino. He has not tried the things that Pacino has tried and failed at.
Yeah, that's true.
And trying to think of that top tier.
That's a great point, because we do revere Daniel Day-Lewis, but the guy has only made 10 or 12 movies, you know?
Yeah.
And Pacino has really, one, he was one of the biggest stars in the world in the 70s and the 80s. And, you know, Pacino kind of went off the Brando rails for a little bit, performance-wise. You know, he was always a very understated actor. Think of The Godfather. Think of The Conversation. He had bursts of energy, like in Dog Day Afternoon, but he was very measured
in
his emotional responses. No, he was.
Bursts were going over the top. He can chew scenery.
Not chewing scenery in The Godfather.
No, I agree on that. But then he slipped into.
This was later.
Doing some more
later.
Than flourishes. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, like, after 1986, after Sea of Love, you start to see the Pacino that, you know,
the just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, Pacino.
But you know, Scarface?
Scarface is over the top. That's crazy. You're right. That was an insane performance.
But my favorite performance back in 1975, maybe my favorite of his after The Godfather.
Yeah.
Dog Day Afternoon.
I love that movie. It is one of the great classic films.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, so far ahead of its time, John. So you have this guy, right? He's a bank robber.
Yes.
You don't know what his motivations are. You slowly discover, along with the people in the bank that are being held hostage, that he is robbing the bank to pay for his lover's sex change operation.
Terrific.
And, you know, Pacino never once kind of panders to the audience.
Yeah.
He never once does anything that would be, you know, coded as stereotypically homosexual or effeminate.
Right.
He doesn't do that at all. And it's a really great movie because it challenges not only the audience's preconceived notions about what it means to be gay, because the guy, he's married and has kids, but also the hostages and the police that he's dealing with. It really is way ahead of its time in terms of gender politics.
And as far as his realism goes, that's the way I think a heist might have gone.
Yeah.
It didn't go right, and he's got his crazy John Cazale, his buddy.
Yeah.
And it's not going right, and he's trying to work everything, and he's on the phone to his wife, who's just completely distraught, and then his girlfriend. It's great stuff.
It is amazing. And, you know, that you mentioned earlier the risks that Pacino took earlier in his career. You know, just a few years after that, he takes this really big risk in William Friedkin's movie Cruising.
Oh,
in which
good
he
one.
Plays a cop that goes undercover in New York's gay leather bar scene to uncover a gay serial killer.
Yeah, let's take a poll as to who's listening out there has ever seen Cruisin'.
It's hard to see. It's hard to find, number one, because it flopped and then it was mangled by the studios. It's hard to see a real, you know, director's cut version of it. However, it is a fascinating portrait of a guy confused, you know, that typical serial killer investigator trope where the guy, the investigator becomes so immersed in the world of his investigation that he kind of takes on these qualities of the killer, you know. And Pacino does a great job. I would love to see the director's cut version of that.
Well, in 1992, he gets what he deserves, and maybe the only time.
I know what you're gonna say. I'm gonna say he didn't deserve it for that.
Okay.
He did not.
I guess you're right. You're absolutely right.
He did not.
I didn't
deserve,
mean that for that movie.
Scent
of a Woman.
He was long overdue for an Oscar,
yes.
And they gave it to him for Scent of a Woman, in which he's doing his boisterous, belligerent, loudmouth. You
yes,
know,
it's true.
Hammy Pacino performance.
It reminds me of Denzel giving it to him for Training Days.
Right.
You know, he's done much better work than that. But at some point, they just. And Scorsese as a director.
Right. For The Departed.
Yeah.
He did not deserve
no,
it for
I know.
That.
What is it? At that moment, they decide this guy needs an Oscar.
I think they get worried. I think they get worried that that if these guys continue down the path that they're going down, they won't do anything worth were awarding them an Oscar. So they give it to him. They give it to them for something like in the middle of the road before things really get bad.
But you are so right about his career. Somewhere around the 70s, I have listed here three roles that he turned down.
Oh, yeah? What?
Brando's role in Apocalypse Now.
Okay.
Ted Kramer.
In Kramer versus
yes.
Kramer? Yes. Yeah.
And here's the strangest one. In 1977, he turned down the role of Han Solo.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that odd?
That's smart. That would have been
yes,
ridiculous.
It would have been a very bad fit.
However, the Kramer versus Kramer thing, you remind me of another movie that I used to love with Al Pacino, and it's not a great movie, but in the early 80s, right around that time, Kramer versus Kramer, he took on a similar role in a movie called Author, Author.
Oh, yeah.
Which is about a playwright.
Yeah.
And he has this really...
Wow.
He has this really... stressful relationship with his wife, played by Tuesday Weld. And there are some great scenes of domestic strife. And, you know, all the while, there's a comedic element to it. He's raising all these kids. It doesn't quite, you know, nail it like Kramer versus Kramer does. But it is another interesting Pacino performance.
And then he can do something toss off like Ocean's 13.
Yeah.
You know, he'll appear in movies. And you wonder, why is he in that?
Look, but, like Geely, for instance.
Oh, ouch. Ooh, that really hurts.
Yeah. Guy's really gone downhill. You know, it's like, just like De Niro, I have this theory that
yes.
those guys, you know, they were on top of the world for so long, yes. but not making blockbuster money, that when the new generation took over, they decided it was time to cash in. So right around the time of Heat,
yeah,
which was so exciting at
yes.
the time, Pacino
yeah.
and De Niro
yes.
on the screen together.
Yes.
After that, that's when you start to see them both kind of fade away and sort of cash in on their legends.
And as a side note, you're reminding me of Heat, which I anticipated and was so disappointed because, and I finally figured it out, I can't even tell you where there was a two-shot. There may have been one.
Yeah.
Of the two of
in
them.
In the diner.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're only on screen in that one scene
yes.
in the middle of the movie.
And the rest of the time, if they are, it's all, you know, single shots. They could have walked in one day, done it, the other, and not seen each other.
Right.
So that was the big disappointment. Two titans.
Yeah.
Not even facing off.
And, you know, finally, years later, they rejoin and they partner up again to star in the amazing film Righteous Kill.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Tripe.
Oh, my gosh.
Excrement.
Oh. So
I need to think of another synonym for garbage.
But there's our point that we started with Daniel Day-Lewis. Lewis saves himself by taking only these cherry roles.
Yeah.
But as an actor, I got to feel he's unfulfilled, except that he goes out and he learns how to be a cobbler. So, you know,
yeah.
He's got his other life.
Yeah, just, you know, you make a few great movies yes. and then, you know, take a few years off to learn cobbling.
But Pacino, has done Broadway stuff.
He has. He's done
Merchant of Venice, too.
Right.
And, you know,
he has this love of Shakespeare
yes.
that he indulges
he's
on.
He's actually
Broadway.
An opera fanatic.
Oh, and you know what? Before I forget, because I know he's doing this right now on Broadway or off Broadway until recently, he was in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh, yes.
And the movie version of Glengarry Glen
oh.
Ross by James Foley
oh.
is a quintessential guy's guy movie,
oh, it's
movie
superb.
Of the 90s. And Pacino as Ricky Roma is at the top of his game.
That film.
And when he eviscerates Kevin Spacey, that's a classic scene.
That film
yeah.
got my attention about Alec Baldwin, and I have not let go since. I watch him with fascination. That role that he plays at the beginning.
It's his finest moment on screen.
Wow.
It was only written for that movie.
Yes.
It's not actually in the play.
Exactly.
Mammoth put it into the screenplay.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But yeah, it's only a 10-minute part, and it's the best thing he's ever done.
Well, you're not surprised then to know that in waiting is King Lear.
Yeah.
And he must have three or four. Of course, he does voiceover stuff like Despicable Me 2.
He
he's going to do that again.
She knows he's going to do that?
Yeah, yeah. And he's going to be doing Imagine. And then...
Imagine, what is, does he play John Lennon?
You
what
know,
is that? Or
I don't know that, yeah. But the one I do know that he's going to play that's in pre-production, Gotti.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so...
Oh, you know, what did you think about this movie that he did recently with Christopher Walken, Stand Up Guys? Did you see that?
You know, I don't think I saw it.
I heard that it was an understated performance in a sort of sweetly nostalgic gangster movie.
Okay, and I'm wondering if I can't believe that I missed it. Well, and you haven't seen it.
I have not seen
it. Okay. So what good are we? Why are we talking about this guy if we haven't seen his stuff? I don't know. So you recently reprised a role from Casino with Robert De Niro, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything with Al Pacino that you could end up with?
I've always been fascinated by this late era Pacino, who is the big, boisterous, the over-the-top, hammy actor, because he never used to talk like that. Early on in his career, he had this soft voice.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, he was very soft-spoken and kind of whiny like this. And I miss those performances. The performances where the tension, the explosiveness, all the kind of seething rage was kind of just simmering under the surface.
Yes.
And that is the beautiful Pacino, you know? The Pacino of The Godfather Part II. I just wish he'd do something like that.
And I'm going to add this... 3, 2, 1. And I'm going to add this, and I don't even know if I'll put it in, but it's reminding me in a wholly different way what Jerry Seinfeld is currently doing.
Yeah.
In his stand-up routine, he is screaming.
Is he?
Yeah. And it's so annoying and clearly, consciously doing it on his part. Playing kind of like the angry middle-aged guy or something that he may think is funny, but the difference between that and Jerry Seinfeld 10 years ago on any of these talk shows or whenever he's doing stand-up is remarkable.
Less is more, John. Less is more.
Excellent.